Good morning and welcome. It's good to see you on this beautiful day the Lord's given to us. Another wonderful day to come and worship. Thanks for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know you're welcome here at Deep Run. And just would like to have you to come anytime you feel led to come and worship with us here. Today's an exciting day. We will ordain two new deacons to serve the church and the community. And Michael Gray and Tony Gunter, they're excited and ready to go, I know, and it's going to be a good day for us here at Deep Run. Thank you for being here and being with us. Today at 5 p.m., official board meeting, Thursday at 10 a.m., Bible study, and our church year begins on July the 1st, so all new church board members will begin their terms on July 1st. Sunday the 17th, communion washing of the saints' feet. That's at 11 a.m. worship service. And on the 17th at 5 of July, July 17th, 5 p.m., the annual church business meeting. We have a card here that says, to the members of Deep Run Church, we'd like to sincerely thank you for the donation that was made to Charlie's fundraiser. Your generosity was a great blessing to us. May your church thrive and grow as you share God's blessings with all you meet. It was deeply appreciated. With sincere thanks, the family of Charlie Hawkins. Also, David Tindall, son of Jerry and Sonia Tindall, was chosen State Star Farmer of the Year by North Carolina FFA Convention recently, meaning that he was honored as the best young farmer in the entire state. Yeah. So let him know how proud of him you are when you see him putting Deep Run on the map, huh? Do we have any other announcements? Yes.
Johnny and I have been cleaning out my mama's house this week, and mama threw away nothing. There was a closet that, and I'm exaggerating, it was knee-deep in wrapping paper and gift bags and tissue paper to put it in. Some of it was crumpled because it had been stacked up. I threw all that away, but there are probably 50 gift bags and tissue paper and some wrapping paper over in the mailroom where the mailboxes are. Please, please, please have some. It would please me very much. Also, I have found more devotional books than I can count, and I brought a box today, and I'm giving it to all the women and said, give it to the men, but she can have one too, and I'm sure I'll find another box, so I'll have them later on. But please do take wrapping paper.
Yes.
Guys, tell everybody I'm doing good. I thank you for your phone calls, your cards, and most of all, I thank you for your prayers, because I know I got them. So I ain't supposed to be here. I don't know why he let me come back. Maybe me and Joe will figure out how. I don't know. Thank y'all very much. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Anyone else? Okay, take your bulletin, stand together, and let's worship as we read together responsibly our responsive reading. If God is for us, who is against us?
He who gave us the Son now gives us the Spirit and power.
The Holy One is in our midst.
He will give us the life in the service of Christ.
In Christ, we're more than conquerors.
For nothing in creation can separate us from the love of God.
May the all-surpassing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And the unshakable love of God be with you.
The joyous communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Let us worship in spirit and in truth.
Father God, we feel your presence here this morning. And it's a blessing to know that when you look at us, you tell us that we're more than conquerors with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's so assuring to know there's nothing that can separate us from your love. We pray that we'd feel your love in newer and greater ways and be able to share it with others as never before as a result of our worshiping and being with you today during this time. Bless the worship in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to hymn 399, We Are God's People, 399. Sing verse 1, 2, and 4. Gabriel has our scripture reading this morning.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines are fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the nights also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers ahead of him. He went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him, but the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember together?
Carl Frank and Kennedy's favorite. At first of the week, he can still talk to you, but as of the end of the week, he's not able to communicate anymore. He's just sleeping. And I looked there last night, and apparently he's resting real well. But Sabre Smith, who kind of looked, take care of him, says it's just a matter of time.
Okay.
He's in Kitty asking.
Any others?
Rebecca Hayes and the Hayes family.
Okay.
Ryan Jennings.
Okay. Any others?
Mark Reed.
Okay.
My father, he's 90, almost 94. He's with me one day, the next day he's 1950s. His slides closed.
All right, let's remember to thank God for each other and for the blessings, and take action together as we remember these needs. Father God, I praise and worship you this morning. Just thank you for bringing us all here together and being with us as we come to worship you. We just thank you for all you do, your blessings. Just bring bounty into our lives, and you meet our needs and give us much more than we need. We thank you for that. We lift these this morning whose names have been called, and we just ask your anointing upon them. Ask you to bless them, bring health, healing, and hope, encouragement. And we just thank you for those who are ministering to them that you've set in place. We thank you for that. Remember our brothers and sisters in the faith today as they worship, especially those who are being persecuted for the faith in Christ. We pray that your hedge of angels will protect him and comfort them and just bless their lives. Pray for our nation, the leaders of our nation and our world, and just ask, Father, that you would impart wisdom that we can seek to live together in peace and harmony in this world that you've given to us. Thank you for the church, Lord, and how you breathe life into it and how it grows throughout the world every day. You sustain it, perpetuate it, and we just pray your blessing on us here that we can be about the Father's business and complete the mission and the task that you've given us here where you've placed us. May you bless my brothers and sisters here this morning, strengthen us as we worship, that we can feel you and know you in new and better ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to hymn 428 and stand as we sing 428, In Christ There Is No East or West. All four verses. Come, we worship as we give. Lord, we acknowledge your presence, a blessing in our life as you give to us in abundance. Now, as we come to give, to support your kingdom's work, and to minister to those in need, we pray that you'll bless the giver as we give with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Today's the third Sunday after Pentecost, and we'll look at a story that takes place during this time in the early days of the church, literally in the first year or so of the church's existence. It was a brand new organization, filled with power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and God was moving among these people every day. Every day, numbers were being added to the community of faith. Every day, people were coming to Christ, which meant every day there were urgent needs and matters of importance that were being presented to the leaders that required their attention now. You know what now means?
Now.
Now, yeah. And it was up to the apostles to find a way to get these things done in order. Since the day of Pentecost, the church had exploded with growth, and as part of the church's outreach to the community, they had set up a system of daily distribution of food to those who were in need. This is our heritage. From the very beginning, the church has been involved in the ministry of compassion to the community where it exists. From the very beginning, the church has been looking out for the needs of others, for those who are less fortunate. It's a habit inherited from our Jewish forefathers in the faith. As William Barclay says, no nation has ever had a greater sense of responsibility for the less fortunate brethren than that of the Jews. Even in ancient times, each Jewish synagogue had a custom of collecting money and food from those in the marketplace and from private individuals, and these resources were distributed to those in need, to those who were unable to care for themselves. Even in Jesus' day, if you'll read many times, there were people who were in need, who were beggars or who were sick or who were less fortunate. They were laid outside the gates of the temple. You know why? Because it would be there that they would be ministered to, be fed, and be cared for. And the early church continued this custom. However, because of the rapid growth and the cross-cultural makeup of the early church, guess what happened? Some problems. At this time, most of the believers in the early church were Jews. They fell into one of two categories. There were the local Palestinian Jews who spoke Aramaic, and there were also the Greek-speaking Jews, those who had been converted to Judaism or who had come from foreign countries and no longer spoke the ancestral language. So you had these foreigners, you had these local people, and this second group was often considered as a lesser class of Jews. So a little racism there, sounds like. And so in today's story, it comes up that some of them complained about being overlooked in the daily distribution. Imagine that. That's the context. Now let's read the story from Acts chapter 6. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and who are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Verse 5. Everyone liked this idea. God had to be in that. Because everyone liked this idea. And they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. And so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. In this story, we see how the apostles took control of a situation that was on the verge of getting out of hand. And they took some very simple, practical steps that would enable them to deal with this influx of people into the early church and the demands of a growing ministry. Now, we're talking about thousands coming in at the time from many nationalities and even from other countries. And when they heard there were issues with the daily distribution of food, they said in effect, "This is a matter that needs to be resolved now. But you know, it's more than we're able to do. I mean, we can't do it alone. So let's just reassess our vision and our mission and our priorities. Let's rethink our strategy for getting things done, and let's recruit qualified people to help us do it." The apostle said, in effect, "Yes, this is the problem that needs to be addressed, but we also have another problem as well. Our top priority is teaching the Word of God and preaching and teaching. And if we devote all of our time to the daily distribution of food, as important as this ministry might be, we won't have time to tend to what God has called us to do above everything else, to preach the Word." That's not that preaching is more important than serving, or that preaching is more important than seeing to the needs of others. Both need to be done. But the apostles couldn't do it all themselves. They found themselves in the same situation that Moses was in when he was trying to minister to the needs of the people. And he was so exhausted, they would have to hold him up. And he finally was given advice that he needed to recruit people to help him in the ministry that God had called him to. So they got created, these apostles, and they came up with a plan that didn't compete with their top priority of preaching the Word. This situation between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Aramaic-speaking Jews was really an opportunity in disguise. It was an opportunity to increase the church's effectiveness in serving others and ministering to them. And it was an opportunity to create a whole new ministry option for these dedicated believers that were coming into the church. The apostles chose seven men and appointed them as deacons who were servants of the church. When we think about deacon ordination this morning, the deacon is the highest honor a lay person can ever receive in the church. What are the duties of deacons? In the Bible, when you read about deacons, the primary emphasis is given to what a deacon is to be, not what a deacon is to do. Because the truth is, if a person is what they ought to be, that they will do what they ought to do. Does that make sense? Commonly, the functional service of deacons has been traced to Acts 6, 1 through 7, our text. And from this passage, we get a glimpse of three things deacons are to be. I want to talk about it briefly this morning. The first thing deacons are to be assistants to the pastor. One problem with ministry is you can be very busy, and there can be so many needs and so many people, especially in a growing church. Can be pulled in so many directions that you really don't have time to do what you're spiritually gifted to do for trying to do other things. And in the New Testament church following Pentecost, they experienced this great growth, and so great were the needs of the people in the congregation, and so generous were the gifts, that the apostles became so occupied in the distribution of food that they were neglected what God had called them to do, their primary responsibility, to preach and to pray. That was their spiritual ministry. They led the church to select the first deacons and to take some practical responsibilities from the shoulders of the apostles so they would have time to pray and prepare and to preach the word of God. Here we have the first deacons. Their role and contribution to the church was to partner and to be an assistant to the apostles who were praying and administering the word to the church. So the first thing deacons are to be assistants to the pastor in carrying out the vision and the mission of the church. The second thing we see here is that deacons are to be servants to the congregation. What is the nature of the service of a deacon? The Bible and our articles of faith remind us that deacon service should include things such as ministry to the sick, ministering to the bereaved, visiting the unsaved, visiting the unaffiliated, building the Christian fellowship, welcoming new members, promoting family worship. And the Greek verb from which the noun deacon comes from means to serve. The word literally meant through dust. Although the original of the word is unknown, the concept of raising dust suggests a servant hurrying to serve or wait on his master. You ever heard the term getting left in the dust? The deacon is a servant, and he'll do whatever needs to be done to serve the congregation so the body will remain spiritually and physically healthy. A deacon is a servant who mimics Jesus in ministering to the people in the community and in the church. Third thing is, deacons are to be witnesses to the world. The selection of the first deacons pleased the whole multitude. So they had known these men, and in their thinking of them to be a servant to minister, it pleased them because they had seen them witnessing in their communities. So this church that was in conflict was suddenly happy again. That's a good thing. Because a church on the verge of splitting is not a good thing. But this church was reunited in love and purpose. A church that had lost its focus was now given a new vision. And as a result, many were added to the church because of the witness of these good men. You see, these men did not ignore a problem or put it off, but they united together to become part of the solution. The importance of unity here cannot be overstated. The Lord cannot work effectively in a church that's in a civil war. And many times, churches are notorious for their fights, and unfortunately, many times, deacons are noted for being the center of controversy. And I know that don't happen here, right? But I want to remind you, as deacons, you're elected and ordained to solve problems, not cause them. The work you're called to do is of utmost importance. The ministry and the witness of the church is of utmost importance. And as you model Christ, may the pastor have an assistant, may the congregation have a servant, and may the world have a witness that lives and magnifies Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. George Bernard Shaw once said, "Power does not corrupt a man. Fools, however, if they get into a position of power, corrupt power." Any person ordained in any position of the church needs the wisdom to not abuse power, but rather to use it as a means of serving God and serving people. We're in the people business. There's nothing else more important. Nothing. When Jesus died, He died for people. And a deacon has the responsibility to the church, and the church also has responsibility to the deacon. The church's obligations to its deacon is threefold: to pray for them, to encourage them, and to follow them. First of all, the church should pray for its deacons. In the New Testament, the church was born out of prayer. Following the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the disciples, 120 in number, gathered in the upper room and began to pray. And the Bible says that they prayed, and they continued to pray until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And the result of their praying, the result of their gathering in prayer, the Spirit moved. When Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved and added to the church that very day. And as the church was born out of prayer, it goes forward on the wings of prayer. There is nothing more important that you can do for a person, especially a deacon. Nothing more important you can do than to pray for them. It has been said, listen closely, if you depend on an organization, you get only what an organization can do. If you depend on money, you get only what money can do. If you depend on education, you get only what education can do. If you depend on a promotion, you get only what a promotion can do. If you depend on prayer, you get what God can do. We desperately want what God can do here at Deep Run. Pray for these deacons. Pray for the mission of this church. Prayer, beloved, can make it happen. Second, the church should encourage its deacons. Being an assistant to the minister, a servant of the church, and a witness to the world is not an easy or even a desirable responsibility. One thing we found out, there's not a line of people begging to serve as deacons. Deacons will spend long hours fulfilling their responsibilities. They'll wrestle with difficult problems of the congregation. They'll be criticized. And they're going to need your encouragement. They're going to need your love. They're going to need your help. You know, one of Satan's primary tools in ministry is discouragement. If he can get you discouraged, guess what? He's got you whipped. He can drive the wedge of discouragement into our commitment, into our service, into our ministry, into our mission. If he can do that, he's won a major victory. Mark Twain once said, I can live 3 months on one compliment. There's already enough discouragement, gossip, discord, backbiting, verbal attacks, envy, strife, jealousy, hatred, lust, war, etc. in the world without adding to it. We see it every day on the news and in the newspapers, on the internet. The church is no place for such an ungodly, unchristlike, pagan, worldly behavior. God did not call the church into being for its members to attack one another and to tear one another down. A body in which its members attack one another will soon die. It will fail to win new people to Christ. It will cease to baptize new believers. And it will fail to grow in number because God will not bless such a thing. The power and the strength of the church is the Christ-like encouragement that the church offers to everyone. I want God and I want the world to say about us at Deep Run, you know, I went to Deep Run Church. Man, I was lifted. Huh? I was encouraged. I want to go back. You know, I was served by the people at Deep Run. You know, I was down, they were there for me. God help us to all be encouragers. Amen?
Amen.
That's something we can do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Third, the church should follow the leadership of its deacons. The deacon is a servant leader. And they have no authority except that which is given to them by God and by the church. And we're not really, you know, we're not to follow anyone blindly, but, you know, we've asked these men to serve, to minister, and to lead us. And we should learn from the way we're served by our deacons. You know, they are going to set great examples before us of what Christ-like service is all about. And as they do, let me encourage you to follow them. Let them know you're willing to assist them and help them and be mentored by them as they serve this church and community. And I believe you gain valuable insight and experience about what Christian service is all about. It's not just a ritual or a place to go. It's who we are. We're followers of Jesus. You know, we've asked our deacons to lead, and when they offer a proposal, we should give it prayerful and careful consideration and do our best to support them and work with them. We should all work together to accomplish the mission of this church and the task at hand, so that we will remain linked together, unified, in one accord. It's been said, no one is as good as all of us. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Being in one accord, using the gifts that God has given to us to serve one another and to serve our community. Our church is blessed to have a gifted deacon body that loves and serves Christ as well as the congregation. Our duty is to pray for them, to encourage them, and to follow them. So in conclusion, deacons are servants of Jesus. They model Jesus as they partner with the pastor to serve and minister to the needs of the people in the church and community. And our duty is to pray for them, encourage them, and to follow them. Michael Gray and Tony Gunner, would you come, please? Michael Gray and Tony Gunner, do you promise to seek to serve as a deacon according to the guidance we had from the scriptures and the articles of faith of Original Free Will Baptist? You promise to follow Christ by being assistant to the pastor of this church, a servant to this congregation, and a witness to the world in which you live. If so, indicate by saying, I do.
I do.
Church, please stand. People of Deep Run Church, you have elected and ordained Michael Gray and Tony Gunther as deacons to serve and lead you. Do you promise to fulfill your duties to Christ, the church, and these deacons, to pray for them, to encourage them, and to follow them? If so, indicate by saying, we will.
We will.
At this time, I'm going to ask these guys to come down here at the altar. I want the deacons to come and lay hands. And then if you would, all of you come as we pray the prayer of blessing as we lay hands upon them. right now is to pray over them, as we ask the anointing of your Spirit upon them, that we will support them. We will encourage them. We will pray for them. And Lord, we will follow them as we seek to serve Jesus Christ, the mission and the vision you've given to us for this church and community. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, and we thank you for your Spirit that we feel the presence just as on that day of Pentecost. And Lord, just continue to move among us and bless in ways we never dreamed possible. Our goal is to see God do what only God can do. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Closing hymn is 436. 436. Bringing the spirit of worship, and may you have a blessed week. Continue to remember today at 5 p.m. official board meeting, Thursday at 10 Bible study, and July the 1st our new board members begin. Anybody else have anything before we leave? Anyone else?
Praise God.
All right. Father, we thank you for all you do, for your Spirit we've encountered today. And we reaffirm our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior as we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.